Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take World Talk Radio on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show. Everywhere you go today, you hear the mention of the 12 steps as a self-help guide to recovery for some addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, gambling, sex, or relationships. Today's program is about the origin of the 12 steps, what they mean, and how to work them. As a psychotherapist and a person familiar with recovery issues, it's an interest of mine. In fact, I did my doctoral dissertation about meditation and alcoholics in recovery. I have been part of a 12-step recovery process for over 26 years. It has shaped my life in a positive direction. If you are interested in today's script, it will be posted on my website by Friday, April the 1st. My website is www.thedrmelanieshow.com. And I encourage you to email me your questions, comments, and suggestions to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, the 12 steps. There are differing opinions as to who and what influenced the development of the 12 steps. According to the book Serenity, A Companion for 12-Step Recovery, the 12 steps were first developed in the late 1930s by Bill Wilson, a co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. He wrote them even before Alcoholics Anonymous was officially named, when they were still part of the Oxford group. Alcoholics Anonymous, otherwise known as AA, was an outgrowth of the Oxford group. The Oxford group was a spiritual renewal movement originally named a First Century Christian Fellowship. That was an evangelistic movement that was started in the early 1900s, designed after New Testament Christianity. And the purpose of the Oxford group was to take people who were stuck in some unwholesome lifestyle and for those people to be healed. The founder of the Oxford group was Dr. Frank Buckman, a Lutheran minister from Pennsylvania Dutch background. In 1908, while he was attending a convention in England, he was there and he had created and resigned from an official hospice board. He was harboring resentments toward that board. And while in the church in Cumberland, he had a spiritual transformation. He realized that his resentments toward that board were distancing him from God's unconditional love. From that experience came the principles of surrender, restitution, and sharing, which emerged as the foundation for the Oxford group. Well, this group went through a number of evolutions. They were banned from having their gatherings in certain universities, so they reached out to people through house meetings. Those meetings included people giving testimonies, witnessing, Bible study, and informal talks. Members were encouraged to work with other people who had problems similar to their own. Bill Wilson himself, an alcoholic, was visited by his friend Ebby Thatcher in November of 1934. Ebby was an alcoholic who had recently joined the Oxford group. Well, Ebby explained to Bill the principles of the Oxford group. Later, On December 14, 1934, Bill Wilson had a spiritual transformation while he was detoxing from alcohol in Towns Hospital in New York. During that spiritual transformation, he felt the presence of God and peace in his hospital room. His spiritual awakening, he felt, was partly due to the talk that he had with Ebby about the Oxford Group principles. Dr. Silkworth, who is the treating physician at Towns Hospital, worked with Bill Wilson. He helped him to understand the spiritual experience that he had and to later help him to change the focus of the work that Bill did with other alcoholics. He was also influential in Mr. Wilson's drafting of the 12 steps. Another influence on the development of the steps, according to AA's magazine called The Grapevine, an issue from 1953, this influence was Dr. William James, a psychologist. Somebody had brought Dr. James the book to Bill's hospital room. The book was called Varieties of Religious Experience. The book helped Bill to understand that his spiritual experience that he had could make him saner. The most notable part of the book for him was, and I'm quoting, "In most of the cases described, those who had been transformed were hopeless people who in some controlling area of their lives had met absolute defeat," end of quote. Well, there was another influence to the development of AA. That was Carl Jung. Bill Wilson studied his work prior to getting sober. Jung's philosophy was, in order to find meaning in life, one must use a spiritual approach. You have to go beyond his or her own past and to have the desire to continue to grow. Well, as a result of Ebby's visit and example, Bill followed the Oxford Group principles for the next 3 years. Those principles included complete deflation of one's pride, developing a dependence and guidance on God. Each person was to write a moral inventory of their past behaviors, and they were to make a confession of things they had done to harm others and themselves. They were to make restitution, and they were to continue to share the message of hope with other people suffering from the same things that they suffered from. Well, Bill Wilson went to Akron, Ohio on a business trip, and while he was there, he had a strong desire to drink alcohol again. Well, the Oxford principles had taught him that he had to find somebody else who was having the same problem he was in order to stay sober himself. So he was directed to a surgeon by the name of Dr. Bob Smith. He went and talked to him, and then these two began to work together and with others to help them stay sober too. Well, Dr. Bob had been familiar with the Oxford movement prior to meeting Bill Wilson, so that was familiar to him, and he didn't have a problem following the principles. As a result of their partnership, there was the beginning of what would be called Alcoholics Anonymous. The date officially claimed as AA's founding is June 10, 1935, the day that Dr. Bob officially began sobriety, even though AA wasn't called AA at that time and it was still part of the Oxford Group. In Akron, Ohio, the group that was part of the Oxford Group, who were the recovering alcoholics, called themselves the Alcoholic Squadron of the Oxford Group. In 1937, Bill Wilson broke away from the Oxford Group because the members that were there to recover from alcoholism did not agree with the excessive evangelism that the Oxford Group practiced. Two factors that led to the exodus of the alcoholics were, one, that Catholics were not allowed to be part of this Oxford Group because their church law forbid them to be part of a religious group outside the Catholic Church. And the second reason was that the Oxford movement had become politically controversial. So they began to break away. Now, Dr. Bob did not break away at this time. Many of the traditions that Alcoholics Anonymous groups adhere to today, such as telling their individual story, their journey into sobriety, and that no one person heads the Alcoholics Anonymous organization, and that there's no set leaders in any of the meetings, all had their start in the Oxford Group. In the book, As Bill Sees It, before the 12 steps were created, Alcoholics Anonymous had the absolutes from the Oxford movement. They were absolute honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love. And there were 5 C's and 5 procedures. The 5 C's were confidence, confession, conviction, conversion, and continuance. The 5 procedures were give in to God, listen to God's direction, check guidance, restitution, and share for witness and confession. And they had slogans, too. They were study men, not books, win your argument, lose your man, give news, not views. The author A. Orange says that Bill Wilson created the 12 steps in about 30 minutes. In December of 1938, Bill Wilson sat down and expanded the 6 Oxford group steps into the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. The group members had issues with the use of the word God, so they substituted the word higher power so as not to appear evangelistic like the Oxford movement was known to be. Doing this allowed atheists to join the group, and they didn't feel that they had to profess God in a prescribed way. According to the book, The Clinician's Guide to 12-Step Programs, How, When, and Why to Refer a Client, the 12 steps are divided into 3 categories. The first 3 relate to the addicted a person's inability to control his or her behavior and that person's need to have help to begin recovery. The 4 through the 9 steps emphasis is on accepting responsibility for one's actions and personality characteristics and starting the process of change. Then steps 4, 6, and 8 involve self-reflection. Steps 5, 7, and 9 require action as a result from working steps 4, 6, and 8. Steps 10, 11, and 12 focus on maintaining and continuing sobriety. I'm going to share with you the actual 12 steps, and then we're going to go into the meaning of each one and how you work them. So after we come back from the break, we'll begin with the 12 steps.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
If you are looking to get started or are currently operating a home-based business, you might be looking for answers. What are the risks? What business should I get started in? How will I market my business? How do I balance my professional life with my other life? For answers, you need to tune into the Home-Based Business Show with Helene Leontzos. Each week, we'll bring you a step-by-step practical guide to starting and maintaining your home-based business. Listen every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
You're listening to the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
The 12 steps. Today on our program, we're talking about what the 12 steps are, how you work them, what they mean. So listen now to the 12 steps. 1. We admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Let's look at the steps one at a time. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 1 is descriptive of how a person comes into Alcoholics Anonymous. Rarely does an individual come in without having lost something. The loss is either one's driver's license, their family, job, home, or health, or a combination, or all of the above. By the time a male or female enters the door of an AA meeting, life circumstances are quite chaotic and unmanageable. The person often comes in desperation, having exhausted all their own methods to stop the addiction, only to have failed miserably. After the man or woman sits through the first meeting, he or she is invited to pick up a white poker chip, symbolizing that his or her life has become unmanageable, and that he or she wants to start a new way of life, not drinking or drugging, one day at a time. By picking up the white chip, the person is admitting powerlessness over the desire to drink, use drugs, or whatever the addiction entails. It's paradoxical that by giving in and over control, one begins to regain control of his or her life. AA members, and to be a member, what one has to say is that they have a desire to not drink to be considered a member. So AA members are encouraged to select a mentor, called a sponsor, to guide them through the working of the steps. Just attending meetings and reading the literature will not keep a person from doing the addicted behavior. One needs to take action, to admit things, to make restitution, and share the journey with someone else, to work the steps just as the Oxford Group tenets recommended. So, the person picks up a white chip, marking the beginning of a sober life. The person attends AA meetings regularly and begins to have the fog clear, and circumstances begin to become less chaotic. While working with their sponsor, the person may be asked to make a list of all the ways their life had become unmanageable because of their addictive substance, to write down all the costs that were involved in their addiction. This is a reality check of becoming responsible and honest as to how their behavior impacted all the areas of his or her life. Now comes step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The individual begins to have faith that perhaps he or she can live a sober life, and that his or her thinking will become sane like normal people, or earth people as they're called. Thoughts that one raced begin to slow down. The memory that was once a haze begins to clear. The sponsor may invite the sponsee, the person being mentored as it's called, to talk out loud to his or her higher power and name it whatever works for them. God, cosmos, sir, Allah, or whatever else works for them. For some agnostics, they begin by allowing the group as a whole to be their higher power, till they can grasp the concept and feel the presence of God. Over time, many agnostics and atheists begin to believe in some form of God, unlike what they're used to from a church or religious background, of often an angry and punishing God. The AA concept is of a more loving, forgiving, and accepting God. The alcoholic will be instructed to read the book that's associated with AA, nicknamed, called, the Big Book. The person is assigned to read the success stories of other people who felt they never could get and stay sober. They're encouraged to develop some healthy habits, like going to a meeting every day for 90 days. The reason they do this is so they can get saturated with the people, the concepts, and the lifestyles of people who are winners. The newcomer is guided to get involved in helping to clean up after meetings, to go out for coffee and talk with those who are good role models, to help make coffee before a meeting, and to even call another person in the program every day to keep that positive contact ever present. So when temptations come, and they will, the person will be used to reaching out for help. And now we come to step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. The alcoholic or the addicted person comes to the awareness that he or she must turn over control of their life to the care of God if they want to be free of acting on their addiction. For each person, this is an individual decision made when they're ready to fully commit to this way of life and to whatever their concept of God is. In the Alcoholics Anonymous book, edition 3, on page 63, there is a prayer that helps the person to do step 3. The prayer is this: God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. End of quote. The person is offering him or herself, surrendering to God, just like the Oxford Principles suggested. To be free from selfish ways, to want to do what God has for us, to triumph over difficulties, to be an example for others, all sounds unreal and incapable of accomplishment. The AA member learns that each day is a clean slate, and if one slips in thought, word, or action, you can start your day over whenever you need to, and you don't have to carry the guilt of failure with you to the new start. Some individuals lament that they've picked up enough white chips to wallpaper their bathroom. But it's not the number of white chips you pick up that makes the difference. It's how you live each day as a sober person that matters. Many people will pray this third step prayer each morning as a way to start their day off on the right foot. It's suggested that people put their shoes under their bed, and when you get up in the morning, to get on your knees, to ask for God's direction for the day, and at the end of the day, on bended knee, thank God for a sober day. All of these actions are called working the steps. It is through action, not just knowledge or attending meetings, that one ensures a better chance for sobriety. And now we come to step 4. This step is a very intense step that requires time and prayer and preparation. It reads, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. People don't like to reveal their secret behaviors or admit the actions that they did that harmed others. But to get better, one must be willing to prayerfully seek to remember who and what they did and actually write it down. For some alcoholics, they may have had blackouts, so they honestly don't recall the details or certain events. And what a blackout is, it's a lapse in memory. We've got three parts to our memory. We've got the episodic, the short term, and the long term. And between each of those storage areas, there's like an electrical connection. Well, when you have drunk enough to have a blackout, it breaks that electrical connection. So you might remember something 5 seconds later or an hour later, but it doesn't get into long-term storage, so you don't remember it the next day. And that's what is called having a blackout. So they may not remember the details of everything they did, but all that's required is to be open and honest about what you do remember, and things later might come to mind that you had forgotten. To complete this task may require a number of weeks to search one's soul for what needs to be included on the list. There are guides on how to do this called writing a fourth step. One example is found in the AA Big Book. In the third edition, it's on page 64. It says we listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. So it recommends a column for who the alcoholic is resentful at, a column for the cause of that resentment, and a column for what that resentment affected, whether it was the marriage, the job, the self-esteem, or whatever. It's very humbling to put pen to paper to list our indiscretions, our true feelings, and to admit how it affected others and ourselves. People caught up in any addiction are used to rationalizing their behavior, not accepting responsibility for their actions. To take this step is a milestone in changing how you see yourself and how you see others. We're going to go to a break now, and when we come back, we will talk more about the 12 steps.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
World Talk Radio presents a new kind of health awareness talk show, the Sharon Kleina Hour, Health, Environment, and the Power of Water. Show host Sharon Kleina interviews leading scientists to discover how each of us can become proactive in protecting our personal health environment in an increasingly unhealthy world. Every show offers new information that could save your life. The Sharon Kleina Hour is health from an environmental perspective, your ultimate source for a personal environmental lifestyle. Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at World Talk Radio and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we're talking about the 12 steps, what they mean, and how to work them. So we are talking about step 4. And this is a very difficult step, but one that can be accomplished. There's a concept in AA that's not AA in nature, but it's true of all human nature. It is that no one makes us do anything. We have choices. I agree that choices that are presented to us might not be good, but you still have choices. Even if someone's being abused, they have the choice to submit and live or fight back and possibly die. While working the fourth step, the person realizes that they had choices and that no one person or thing made them drink. I believe that addiction is a medical illness, but the addicted person has a choice to either continue in the addiction or seek help. Writing out this step is accepting responsibility and acknowledging to God and to another human being the exact nature of what the person did wrong. In the book that's called Reflections of Hope for March 21st reading, it says, I found that in recovery, only when I do healthy things that I have been reluctant to do and let go of the unhealthy, things that I've really grasped tightly, do I find the things that I've been looking for all along. So working this step is doing a healthy thing to acknowledge unhealthy behaviors and to be willing to live differently. But it's a lifelong process. Once this step is completed, it requires further action. So we come to step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Once that moral inventory is written, the person is to sit down, present it to God, go over it prayerfully, and see if they left anything out. Once they've offered it up to their higher power, then they are to read it out loud to a human being, a priest, a therapist, a sponsor, or a trusted individual who will keep their confidence. This is a very sacred act, not to be taken lightly. When I've been privileged as a therapist to hear somebody's fourth step, I prepare ahead of time. I ask for guidance to be supportive, non-judgmental, and affirming that this person who is performing this, I know that it's very anxiety-producing. So as they read the inventory, I will sometimes make a note of people that they need to make amends to or themes that happen. And sometimes I'll even ask them for further detail to a scenario. The whole process can take a number of hours, but it's real important to try to finish it all in one setting so you don't lose your momentum or the desire to let go of all that guilt and shame. Now, once the process is completed, I usually go outside with the person. We put aside the notes that we've kept for later, and then we burn the written inventory. For the person doing this, it's a very freeing feeling. In one instance, while I was helping a person complete this process, it began to rain, a very gentle cleansing rain. And as the plume of smoke was going heavenward, that gentle rain was coming down. I cannot describe how sacred that was. After doing step 5, people feel lighter. They sleep better. They're less anxious and less fearful. They have confidence that they've conquered something monumental. But they can't stop here because step 6 says, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What's a defect? A limitation, imperfection, a problem, a phobia, a deficiency present in a character who might otherwise be very functional. It's very unusual to admit your faults and foibles. It takes a great character to do so, and it makes one vulnerable to other people's judgment. It's like a dog baring his belly to a bigger canine. Notice the step says entirely ready. It's not done in an instant. Just because this step says God remove all these defects of character does not mean we sit back and just wait for it to happen. You have to know what your defects are before you can be ready for God to remove them. You make a list of them. You ask for input of them from a trusted person. As a psychotherapist, I believe that all behaviors have meaning and positive intent, but the reasons that later might be recognized as a rationalization for doing some behavior, and this comes out when you work on this step. If you're going to remove a behavior, it cannot be done in a vacuum. You have to have something to replace it with. It's a good idea to start a new healthy behavior to have it become familiar, so when you're ready to eradicate the old, there's a routine that helps with the anxiety of having that lost, vacant behavior. An example of this is a person who's trying to stop smoking. The man or woman first purchases an aid to assist them to take away the cravings, like Zyban or Chantix or Nicorette gum, or they might attend classes to learn how to relax. And then eventually they set a date to stop the smoking. Well, for any behavior, there's four parts to changing it. Step one is, I've always done this behavior, and I probably always will. Step two is, I said I wouldn't do it again, but I just did. And step three, I'm doing the behavior right now, and I said I wouldn't. And step four, normally I would do this behavior in this situation, but this time I realize I have options, and I can choose a healthier response. So the person working this step is choosing a healthier response. So once you have the list on paper and you shared it with your sponsor, then you're ready to take action to have God remove them. You focus on one defect, one behavior at a time, and you become aware of when you do it, what your circumstances are of when it happens, who the behavior is directed at, and your feelings at the time that you do it. Keeping a journal about it is very helpful. You talk to your sponsor or a therapist about alternative actions you can do instead of the hurtful, harmful ones, if you haven't already started them. Did you know it can take as long as 2 to 5 years to get back to some fully sane, functioning level once a person begins the recovery process? A person stops their emotional development when they start an addiction. So if the person was 14 when they started drinking, they're emotionally 14 when they begin sobriety. Their actions will mature over time, but in the beginning, they're going to be quite immature. And it's a lifelong process to be in recovery from whatever the addiction is. It never totally goes away, and no one graduates from working on the recovery of an addiction. And now, you're ready for step 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So, the recovering person knows what his or her defects are, when he or she does them, whom they're directed at, and how it feels when it's done. Now, the person wants to replace that urge to act on that defect with a replacement of a healthier behavior. That is where the person's higher power is asked to assist to remove the shortcomings. It's a process, and at times there may be some backsliding, but for every step backward, there is progress and hopefully some education as to the reason that moving ahead is more advantageous. Here again is a prayer, a 7-step prayer to assist people in the process. You can find this on page 76 in the third edition. It says, "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." Now, you move on to step 8. You made a list of all persons we had harmed, and you came willing to make amends to them all. It's scary to have to admit that one can no longer hide behind excuses, that he or she is not only responsible for doing damage to people and to themselves, but to have to go make apologies to people as well, that's pretty scary. If you remember in the 4th step, I suggested that the person write down the names of people they'd later need to make amends to. Now is the time you bring out that list. And you do it for a sake of a guide to know where to start. Notice that the step does not say make amends yet, but become willing to make amends. To get willing, one can pray to their higher power to ask for the will to become willing to make amends. It requires a right attitude and humbleness to reach achievement of this step. If one makes apologies and is not ready or sincere, it can backfire and make the situation worse. but it's not always evident who should be on the list. Sometimes a name or situation will surface years later, not to be resolved until action has taken place. The list should be discussed with a sponsor or a therapist to determine whom the action is needed and when and what priority the list should be tackled. It's a process that takes time and a lot of thorough self-introspection. But with the help of a sponsor and prayerful attitude, it can be accomplished. So we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about working these steps.
Find out what's happening on the World Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at World Talk Radio.
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on World Talk Radio Variety.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
Listen.
Listen. The world is talking. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Everywhere you go today, you hear the mention of the 12 steps. Well, today's program is talking about the 12 steps. If you would like to have more information about them, you can go to my website, www.thedrmelanieshow.com. You can email me your questions and comments and suggestions to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the steps, and we were discussing step 8. And we're making a list of the people that we need to make amends to. So the list is made, and the order of whom to approach is planned. Next comes anxiety. What if the person won't accept our apology? What if the person's dead or cannot be located? How then do you accomplish step 9, which says, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. For instance, if a person has had sex with their friend's spouse, it is not necessarily in the best interest of that injured party to go confess it to them just to ease the conscience of the recovering person. There may be things that a person does not know, like money that was stolen or things that took place in their home without their knowledge. Sharing with them, it may not be helpful. It may not help to build the trust for that person with the recovering person. So timing is extremely important. It's good to take a sponsor or some person in the program or a person that the other person will accept as a good person, a responsible person, to take them along for support and backup. Now, the outcomes, they're not always going to be positive. Sometimes the injured party will not allow the person even on the property. Sometimes when it's all said and done, the person will not accept the apology. But it's not the intent of working this step to have it all go well. It is to be honest and not harbor any secrets that have been harmful to another person. If the recovering person cannot make direct amends, the person can do what is called a living amends. By living this new way of life, people will see and believe that a change has taken place. But there's occasions where amends have to be made at a headstone because the person is deceased, or a letter of apology is written and it's read in a therapist's office or to the sponsor if the person is deceased or you can't find them. This can be shared with a sponsor, a minister, a therapist, or somebody in the recovery program. There's times when a person on the list goes unresolved for a number of years, and then you find that person or they run across your path. And when that situation presents itself, it's recommended to prayerfully consider making the amends at that time. If it's not appropriate, you don't do it. As the amends are made, a change begins to take place in the person. There's promises that start to come true. They're called the 9-step promises. You can find them on page 83 of edition 3. They say, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We'll not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. We'll comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We'll suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. So if one works the steps, there's benefits, peace, serenity, old behaviors dissipate. And because a person doesn't want to accumulate more amends to be made, there's step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. One is encouraged to apologize to correct any behavior as it arises. At the end of each day, one reviews the events of the day to see if there's anything that did not get resolved. And if there is, then that person prayerfully hands it over to his or her higher power and becomes willing to take whatever corrective action is required. And then we come to step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had conscious contact with God is like having an open phone line and never saying goodbye or amen. The person learns to ask for direction before starting their day or before making major decisions. Each person has an individual relationship with his or her higher power. Most people in recovery see this higher power as a loving, forgiving, and non-judgmental force. It might start differently in the beginning of recovery, for often people remember come from an angry, punishing view of God from their exposure to a church experience. The longer the person is involved in a recovering community, the more evidence they witness of miracles and love where only hate once existed. It shapes a person's view and relationship with God. Some are atheists in recovery, and they don't ever establish a personal communication or awareness of the existence of God. But those people can still stay sober, working the steps and following the guidance of a sponsor. And you ask, well, how can they do that if they're supposed to talk to God? Well, they can use their sponsor or other people in the program that as they respect to go to for knowledge and consultation. Well, there's no prescribed way to accomplish step 11. There are what are called 11-step or conscious contact AA meetings. Some of those meetings, the people just sit in silence for an amount of time, allowing the individual to listen for that still, small voice of their higher power. Other groups have a variety of types of meditations, realizing that not everyone gets the same benefits from a particular meditation style. It's suggested that a person prayerfully ponder the day ahead and ask for God to direct their path. Then the person pauses throughout the day asking for guidance on a particular issue. And then they thank their higher power at the end of the day for another day being sober. And that's what they when they put their shoes on the floor and get down on bended knee. Well, by the time the person has worked these 11 steps, he or she usually has had a spiritual awakening, a time of awareness of his or her higher power's love for them, care for them, and a want to have a relationship with them. It's quite different from any human relationship. Because of the outcome of working these steps, a person naturally wants to do step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. By this time, the transformation of the individual is evident to people around him. It's genuine and miraculous. It attracts people to the individuals. Others want to know what happened and how did it happen. People who are where the recovering person once was reach out and ask for help. The transformed individuals go and share their experience, strength, and hope with that person caught in the throes of their addiction. The recovering person reaches out and offers to help them to learn a new way of life, one day at a time, just like someone helped them to do. Often in meetings, people introduce themselves and say, "Hi, my name is, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic." But how can one be so grateful for such pain and suffering? It's because they found a new way to live, that the suffering brought them to this new way of life, and that the misery they thought was endless has ended. I don't know if you are caught in some addiction. If you are, there is hope for you. If you will contact me by email at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, I will direct you to some resources that may be of help. Or you can go to my website on April 1st, and this program script will be posted. It is www.thedrmelanieshow.com. I have learned in order for someone to help themselves, you have to help someone else. I hope today that I've helped someone, for in turn it has helped me to share of my experience, strength, and hope. Be sure to tune in next week for another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.